As I said an hour ago, I think it is significant that the South African government is prepared to give up a controlling shareholding in SAA. That's not to say that Pravin Gordhan's announcement earlier today means that the skies are rosy for the future of SAA. There's a lot that still has to happen and happen successfully for SAA to become a functional and non-debt-creating airline again. But, you know, this is a government that doesn't like to let go of control of the things that have been in its control. And they have ceded 51% to the Takatso Court Consortium, which is Global Aviation plus Tarath Holdings. So Tarath owns Lanceria and Global Aviation, Global Airlines, does a lot of leasing, and it also owns the Lyft airline. Gidon Novick is the CEO of Takatso, and so he's going to be the main person driving it and brings a lot of aviation experience. And now to this, Dr. Joachim Vermuten, an aviation economist, joins us now. Joachim, good afternoon. I'm getting an enormous amount of cynicism and negativity from my listeners. I think that it is, I think one should be allowed to say there's a little flicker of optimism, a candle burning in the corner somewhere?
Hello, John and listeners. I think it's a very positive step. And the approach is far better than government actually starting up its own national airline on a scale that's just too large to be funded. So let's first look at the positives. The first one is an absolute confirmation that government will not put in more taxpayer money into SAA. Now, there's the 2.7 after 10.5 that is going to the subsidiaries. That means that the SAA restructuring would still require the 2.7 at the point in future. But it includes $2 billion that's for relaunch of SAA, together with the $3 billion that will be contributed, that brings a capital base of about $5 billion, which is not to be sneezed at.
And you think that $5 billion is enough to start small and then grow when that small start shows itself to be successful?
Well, there's a few issues in this. The first is that someone, an airline executive with significant experience, Gideon Novick, is involved, and that's a far better bet than any of the other people that have been involved trying to resuscitate SAA since 2012, who has not come from the airline industry. Secondly, I would hope that decisions would be made on the basis of a commercial approach instead of a politicized, decision-making process.
There was a statement that the government will maintain, I can't remember what the exact phrase was, but they would maintain the right to set certain strategic goals for the airline.
Yeah, we still have to see what that means. It's not clear to us at this stage what that means, but it's the start of the whole process. Due diligences have to be made, and then the terms of the transaction has to be firmed up, which is certainly not the case at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, it's announced as a done deal, but there is still due diligence to be done. And if that due diligence reveals things hidden in corners that Takatsu wasn't aware of, as my understanding is, they have the right to walk away.
Yeah, it's actually affecting both sides, but yeah. It's the start of the process, and you need to start somewhere. You can't continue with a process like this within a public corporation and not hope things will sneak out, So it's better to come out and say this is the terms within these broad parameters a transaction is possible. And then a transaction has to be struck that is suitably acceptable to all parties.
And look, I don't want to undermine what I have said several times. I think is a significant 2 days in South Africa's history with the announcement yesterday of 100 megawatt limit for embedded generation, and then today ceding only for the second time in the ANC government's history control of an asset that it owned, Telkom, and now SAA. But there's lots of the unions are unhappy. There's the issue of the South African Airways Pilots Association, which goes on. There's an enormous amount of distrust in SAA and, you know, how they're going to be coaxed back. There's the issue of the subsidiaries, Mango Airchef, etc. That hasn't been decided yet. Is there a conflict of interest with Kakatsa owning Lyft and now SAA joining, you know, so there's a lot still to work.
Oh, for sure. That's why we need the process to actually start. To see whether all these things can be put to rest. I would think that it's better for government now to settle all the outstanding issues of the past, including paying, the staff their salaries. That's just apparent to me that you just don't pay your staff without any restructuring in place. So all of those issues have to be cleared. As far as the transaction is concerned, there has to be some consolidation because now you have Mango and Lyft and SAA entering into the domestic market, and it's very clear that some rationalization and consolidation is necessary to make it work because the market is really traded well. You know, it's not that there's a big gap in the market.
And, let me ask you to gaze into your crystal ball, Joachim, and a year's time, do you think that SAA is going to be flying and people are going to be booking seats on the newly constituted? I mean, Pravin Gordhan said it's going to stay named SAA, but new design, new livery, all that sort of thing is up for discussion. So, you know, in a year's time, obviously parliamentarians, government people will be asked to fly SAA wherever possible, when SAA is flying the route that they want to fly. But then the broader public, what's going to be the difficulty of getting them back onto the planes? So in your crystal ball, a year's time, SAA planes in the air with people on them.
Well, my crystal ball is really the biggest thing to protect is a competitive market. So I would not, mind SAA entering the market, but in a scale and that can actually be afforded on normal investor principles, which would imply it has to play a smaller role. So it is very clear that some rationalization can be done between Lyft and Mango immediately, and that, SAA's role in the domestic sector might be very, very small, if at all. You know, I think it could play a different role, but it has to be a modest role. You know, there's no money to actually afford major startup losses for a long time.
So again, Pravin Gordhan was talking today about regional continental routes, SAA, strategic in intra-African travel. So, you know, I don't know whether he's thinking about that in the next year, 2 years, or he's thinking about it in 5 years' time. But government, through Pravin Gordhan, still seems to harbour those sorts of ambitions for SAA.
Yeah, well, first let's look at the regional routes. I think there's a lot of applications for the regional routes. SAA's rights have actually expired, but the Licensing Council's term has not been renewed, and there's a gap in somebody to adjudicate those matters. So it will be interesting to see what happens with that, because to my reckoning, in terms of the policies, it's now a level playing field and everybody should have the same chance to actually apply for those rights that are available. Some of the routes have limited capacity, but that just demonstrates the reason why you should have a more open market on the regional sector. The regional market is very small. People overestimate the size of it because one looks at a map and that creates a different impression. But for example, I had a look at the traffic volumes of Oxa, and all the traffic volumes that on the regional routes for all airlines only amounts to 4% of the domestic traffic volumes.
That's an indication, yes, of how relatively insignificant compared to the domestic market, that is. Dr. Joachim Vermuten, an aviation economist, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.